Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. Established in 2014, DeLuna Coffee is owned and operated by the Lemix family. Ed, Courtney, and their son, Brett. Ed graduated from FSU in 1979, Brett in 2009. Lifelong fans and Florida State boosters, the Lemixes attend multiple football games every year where you can find them tailgating near the Unconquered statue. Pull up a chair and pour yourself a Palafox Place. Named after the main hub, Palafox Place, in downtown Pensacola, DeLuna has combined a Brazilian, Colombian, and African bean to give it just the right flavor. This coffee can be enjoyed any time of the day. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WARCHANT.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WARCHANT.com's Azon Hunjavandi
and Corey Clark.
The boys playing with our toys. M1. What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee, DeLunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. War Chant 15, the promo code, will save you 15% on all the goodies over there, whether you can drink it, chew on it, or use it as your cup du jour. Put in the rotation. Get that stainless steel tumbler. Show your support for DeLuna, our good friends, the Lemoxen. The Lemixes, and this program. Also, you can do that by hitting the thumbs up if you're listening to us on YouTube or leaving us a 5-star rating and an accompanying review on iTunes. We have passed the fifth day of the month, Corey, when I usually would try to read a 5-star review, so that goes by the wayside. But you're here to pick us up, keep us on the right path. Corey Clark, everybody. How are you, Corey Clark?
Hey, everybody. How are we doing? We doing okay out there? I'm doing good, buddy. How are you doing?
All right, you know, I was hoping we could, you know, do a jam-packed show of Renegade Express and celebratory hijinks for another national championship for this perhaps budding dynasty, but it's going to have to wait, perhaps. Well, it's going to have to wait for sure until Thursday night, hopefully. Florida State drops Game 2 of the Women's College World Series 6-2 against top-seeded Oklahoma. Holding on to a 2-1 lead heading into the sixth inning, in which Oklahoma then, you know, exploded. I mean, they got four runs. Crazy enough, Corey, all the cynicism and skepticism that comes from this side of our internet connection when we do this show, I felt great. Like, I'm like, I know, I totally understand what Oklahoma is capable of, but I am trying to be as objective as I possibly can whenever talking about any of the programs that we cover for this website of ours. I'm just like, they're the better team. Florida State, they've played 14 innings now. Florida State to me is by far demonstrably the better team in this series. Unfortunately, one of those innings was a four spot Oklahoma put on the board, the sixth inning, which proved to be enough to pull out this win and force a deciding game three. But, dude, I thought Florida State looked great defensively, at least in the first half of this game. You know, Ms. Mason making things happen again. Elizabeth Mason with another big-time home run, a two-run shot. And I still feel Florida State is playing better defensively. I feel they're hitting, crazily enough, although they got out-hit 11-4. Has been a little bit more consistent throughout the course of these 14 innings. The pitching, I just thought that, you know, Kat Sandercock has been dialed in, didn't maybe have her best night, her best stuff as the inning sort of wearing on. I don't want to say I'm concerned, not nearly as confident as I was, but hey, they're the number one team in the nation for a reason and have all these accolades. So we'll play one more, and it'll all matter. Everything on the line Thursday night, or actually Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m.
Yeah, and look, man, Oklahoma's awesome. They're a really good team. You guys saw that on Wednesday night. You make one little error, and it wasn't a little error. It was a big error. But to start the sixth inning, you make an error, and then the best player in the country, she's the National Player of the Year, hits a bomb to right center in a game you've been leading since the first inning. All of a sudden, you're trailing, and it just kind of seemed to unravel there. I thought Sandercock did a good job limiting the damage as far as, like, you know, Oklahoma makes their bones on extra base hits and home runs. It was a bunch of singles, but it was, you know, they kind of got Florida State-ed to death with a bunch of singles up the middle, singles to the shortstop. And look, if you make errors against this team, you're probably going to lose, and you certainly don't want to give Allo, I think that's how you pronounce
it,
name,
it is. You're right,
a
man.
Runner
trust
on base. I got to trust myself.
Trust it.
So you're up 2-1. You get down 2-0 to her. And the thing is, normally you'd be like, okay, don't give her anything to hit. Well, they got great hitters behind her. So you got to give her something to hit, and then it just ends up going out of the park because that's what they do. Oklahoma probably has some momentum going into going into Thursday. What is it, a 3 p.m. start?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
What's that about?
I don't know. Let's get to they because they had to push it back already, you know. So I guess let's get this thing wrapped
up. Yeah, but why would you have the first two games in primetime and then the last game, the do or die game at 3 p.m.? That seems odd.
I bet ESPN
that doesn't
probably
make a lot
they probably
sense.
Have an NBA. I'm guessing maybe it's their turn to have an NBA playoff game on Thursday.
Well, you know what, Aslan? Throw it on ESPN too. Do we need to see the U.S. Cornhole Championships again? Let's throw game 3 of the Women's College World Series on ESPN2. People will find it. Nobody knows where this thing is. It's always jumping around, but it's weird that it's at 3 p.m. But either way, no matter what happens, and this sounds like somebody that's already expecting a loss. I'm not saying that.
No, don't.
Florida State, again, has hit their head on the ceiling of what this team could be and what this season could be. They took the best team in the country, legitimately one of the best offensive teams that's ever played this sport. Maybe the best. Not maybe. Look at the numbers. The best offensive team that's ever played this sport. They've taken them to game 3, the final game of the season. And whatever happens, happens. But you're in this moment. You made it to this moment. That's something to feel good about. Now you just hope some breaks go your way. You can't make a lot of errors. You need to get some hits. Maybe Elizabeth Mason can hit 3 home runs. But whatever the case may be, man, they're going to finish 1 or 2 in the country. It's just a testament to this program and what Lonnie's built, because this was not a good season by Florida State softball standards. They were a 10 seed. They didn't even win the ACC, regular season or conference tournament. Clemson, who's only been doing it for 2 years, won the regular season. And here Florida State is again in the finals with one game with a chance to win another national championship. So kudos to them. Kudos to Oklahoma. I think, you know, the two best teams clearly in the country are playing right now. You just hope Florida State can maybe find a little luck later on today on Thursday.
I think they will. Again, man, it was one inning. It's really, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Their pitcher, though, shut the door after the first inning. You know, the two-run home runs all Florida State mustered. But otherwise, all the preceding games in this tournament, Florida State has shown us their ability to manufacture runs, put pressure, stress out, strain out opposing defenses. I'll tip the cap, and then I think Wednesday it makes its return, and we'll see, man. I still feel good about it. Not nearly as confident. You know, maybe I was overconfident thinking a 2-1 lead was going to be enough, but I just thought that, man, like, you know, Oklahoma had some chances even earlier on in the game, and I mean they rifled one off of Sandercock's ankle or her shin, and I mean she shook it off and got right out of the inning. So this team is they're built differently. I think they'll be prepared for it. So again, 3 p.m. ESPN. Winner take all. And if they win this, man, we're a dynasty. A dynasty's back at Florida State. That'd be great. That'd be great. Although
sure. Either way, for everyone that doesn't know, and why would you, Oklahoma does have 5 of the top 17 softball players in the country coming to their school next season too. So Oklahoma's not going anywhere. This is ridiculous what they're doing. I don't quite understand it. I don't know if the NIL has already started for Oklahoma softball players. I don't quite understand how one team in Norman, Oklahoma, not exactly Las Vegas, is getting 5 of the 17 best players in the country, but they are on top of what they already have, which is a ridiculous amount of talent. Still, you know, you got one shot here now. Lonnie said after game 1, game 2 was the hardest of any region of any series, especially something like this. You really would have liked, you were 6 outs away, and if you make the throw to start the sixth inning, you're five outs away. And who knows what that does to the inning. Maybe it still plays out the same. And instead of losing 6-2, you lose 5-2. I don't know. I have a feeling things play out a little differently if there's one out in the sixth inning and your best hitter's coming up with nobody on base. But I don't know. Either way, I hope you don't feel like you blew it. Like, oh, man, we were only six outs away. All we had to do was do this. Look, man, you got one chance now. And really, Florida State, I hope they play loose. Like, you got nothing. Nobody really, other than the people listening to this show maybe, expect Florida State to win this thing. So go play loose, man. You got nothing to lose. You've already taken the best team maybe that's ever been offensively to a third game. You're right there. Like you so just enjoy the moment, and hopefully you can get 21 outs, and you've touched home plate one more time than they've touched home plate when it's over.
Courtesy of our own Irish Schofel, five-star Schofel, managing editor of WarChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source, who's out in Oklahoma City, from Elizabeth Mason. It would have been great to win today, but it will be great to win tomorrow.
Mm.
So she said that right after the game on Wednesday night. So right attitude by your leaders is going to trickle down throughout that dugout. So I'm all right with it. I'm all right. Bring it on.
And I thought Sandercock pitched well, right?
I did,
like, she gave up one run until the sixth inning. And even then, again, that I just can't tell you when you're nursing a one-run lead against a team like that, that error.
In that environment.
I'm not putting it all on.
In that environment as well, too, you know.
That changes everything. It just changes everything. So who knows what the environment will be like today. I assume it'll be off the charts again. It'll probably be a little different because it's the afternoon. It's weird that it's the afternoon. That doesn't make any sense that you would play it on a Thursday afternoon after Tuesday and Wednesday night have been prime time, and I'm sure they've gotten really nice ratings to then move it to Thursday afternoon. But whatever. Do what you're going to do, NCAA. Do what you're going to do.
How exhausted are these young ladies too, man? Like, another 3 hours would have been nice, you know, another 4 hours. Maybe,
yeah. Maybe
you know, squeezing a little napski before the game. But nonetheless, no excuses. They'll get it done. Still keeping the faith, man. Keeping the faith.
Okay. All right. Here. I like to hear it.
I don't want to bring down the show, but my mind started wandering when I woke up and saw this tweet yesterday morning. Man, did you see that Jim Schlossnagel, who is maybe the highest paid college baseball coach, or at least top three, gone, leaving TCU, not for the Texas Rangers, the Texas A&M Aggies. So A&M snags him away. Now, apparently, A&M had their eye set on Tim Tadlock, rather. I apologize, from Lubbock, Texas Tech. But I think that might be just salty Texas fans and other SEC fans, you know, just trying to needle them for not getting their first option. But it's just this, it's got to stop. Corey, this conference, they're just going to seal everybody away. Apparently now, Pat Casey, who retired, Oregon State's skipper, who helped them win, I think, three national titles, apparently, according to Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball, who knows things, apparently he's the front runner for the LSU job. Was kind of hoping maybe Kevin O'Sullivan would get plucked away from Gainesville to go to Baton Rouge. It's Monopoly, Corey. It's Monopoly, and they've got football cornered, and now it's like, all right, we've got Park Place and Boardwalk. Let's get Nebraska Avenue. Just so I want a little red. I want a red card. Let me get what's one of the purple ones? I don't even know. Missouri Avenue. Let me get that one. I want the Waterworks.
What's Baltic? Is Baltic one of the
Baltic,
early ones?
I think Baltic's purple. You amazing man. All right. You're incredible. Yeah. I love you, man. What are we going to do? Georgia's going to probably come after Lonnie. I bet you Georgia's going to come after Lonnie. Didn't their coach from a long time retired?
Like, I don't know if they'll do that for softball coaches. Maybe so.
Why not, Corey? That's the thing.
What do they have to worry about, right?
Yeah.
Like, because they make so much more money than Florida State. Texas A&M. And I'm not talking about the oil barons or anything like that. Obviously, we know about them. But I'm just talking about the money they make from ESPN and the TV rights. The money they make for being in the SEC is twice as much as what Florida State makes. So they have twice as much money to spend. So, yes, they can go after, what's his name?
Schlossnagel. Yeah.
What's his name?
Schlossnagel.
Did I get it right?
Jim Schlossnagel,
Yeah. They can go after a TCU head coach that's been to the College World Series a few times. Like, they have the money to do that. They just do. They have the money to go after a Lonnie Alameda. And we talk about it usually on this show just about how it relates to football. But it trickles down everywhere. It just does. Like, you know, Florida State can't afford to spend $900,000 or $700,000 or $500,000 on a softball coach. Texas A&M can. They don't care. Whatever. That's a drop in the bucket. To Florida State, that's a big hit. To Texas A&M, it's like, oh, that's what we pay our GAs. That's what we pay our quality control assistants for football. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. It just goes back to the whole – it's such a disparity between the SEC and everything else around it with what they can pay softball, baseball, football, what have you, and then also the facilities they are allowed to now buy, afford, maintain, build. The ACC just has a hard time keeping up with that. So this is the new reality, man. I hope something can happen. I hope something changes. But until it does, yeah, man, Florida State gets off on the cheap. They've gotten off on the cheap with Mike Martin Sr. for a long time. They're getting off the cheap on Mike Martin Jr. And they're probably getting off on the cheap. I haven't compared Lonnie's salary to other softball coaches in the country, but I doubt she's one of the top three highest paid coaches. But if you went by what's happened the last 5 or 6 years, she should be. So again, I'm not saying I don't know that Lonnie would go anywhere. We certainly wouldn't begrudge her if A&M came and say, hey, we're going to offer you $1 million. Like, of course she would leave. But either way, it's just the reality that what Florida State is up against, what every school in the country is up against those, what do we got, 14 teams in the SEC? Is that how many schools there are? Mm-hmm. That's what you're up against. Like, it makes no sense at all that Missouri can afford to pay its coaches in every sport much more than Florida State can. When you think about what Florida State means to college athletics and what flipping Missouri means, Missouri hasn't won anything ever. They just haven't. But they make twice as much money per year or close to it than Florida State does. So they can go build a great softball facility, a great baseball facility. They can spend $900,000 on a baseball coach. Florida State can't. And I get you, man. The Texas A&M thing, just like, okay, we didn't get our first choice, the Texas Tech guy. Okay, we'll just get the TCU guy that's been there forever, and we'll make him an offer he can't refuse. It's not a horse head in his bed. It's even better. It's like $1 million. And how do you say no to that? You can't say no to that. So that's what we're dealing with. That's what college sports has become. And as we move forward with this show, as we move forward with this, just the website, obviously, and just our thoughts on postseason, our thoughts on sports, we have to understand now that all these schools in the ACC, except for lacrosse, where they run the game, like they just dominate. Other than lacrosse and, like, I don't know,
women's soccer,
the SEC is going to dominate because they just have more money to spend. Every single sport is like the New York Yankees versus the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Tampa Bay Rays have done great. They've had great seasons. They've done amazing things with their salary cap, with the money they have to spend. But there's still the Rays versus the Yankees. And that's what it feels like almost – to every sport when it comes to the SEC. Like, yeah, man, tomorrow Georgia, because they're looking for a coach, right? Their coach just retired. Mm-hmm. They could offer Lonnie probably twice what she's making now at Florida State. Mm-hmm. Three times, four times, who knows? They could make her an offer she couldn't say no to. As much as she loves Florida State, none of us would begrudge her if they tripled her salary, which they very well could. They have the means to. So, whatever, it's not fair. Have fun, SEC. Good job.
I love how your internet's been really patchy. It's going to be a lot better here in the next 2 minutes when we go to Renegade Express, but it came on strong in the last. Not your fault. I'm just letting everybody know that, you know, it's not their fault. It's not your fault either. It's just the way the world works and the way the technology is. And it's not so much, it's the last thing I want to say, and you can, you know, counterpoint to it if you want. And it's not so much that the money is going to lead to success, you know. A&M's given all that money to Jimbo, and it really hasn't paid off all that much. I mean, they made it to a New Year's Six Bowl. I'm sure they're mildly excited about that. But it's just like they're going to ruin other families. You know, it's like you're stealing away someone else's spouse, you know, and it's like you're ruining another family. Like, I mean, you pull away Lonnie from us, like, that's going to be heartbreaking. Like, TCU really, really made an investment in their facilities and their stadium and in Jim Schlossnagel. I think he might be one of the I don't want to say he's the first coach to make $1 million, but, man, he was one of the first. I mean, he was definitely on the short list of college baseball coach that made a seven-figure salary. And A&M just nondescriptly just plucks him away from, you know, Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, man, we're trying to build something over here. Leave us alone. You guys do your own. You guys only care about your own conference, right? Like, oh, you win the SEC, that means more than winning a national championship. All right, well then leave us alone. Let us tinker with our staffs, our programs, so we can compete for national championships, because that's what we care about the most everywhere else.
I mean, if you with these sports to compete with the SEC and a lot of them, you have to be like Billy Beane. Like, you remember when in Moneyball, he's like, you know, the Yankees took our heart. They're like organ donors for the rich.
Yeah.
That's what the Oakland A's were.
Yeah.
And that's what he figured out. And it's like, that's what these other conferences are becoming for the SEC, especially in these minor sports, maybe not so much in the major sports. I know that Jimbo left a great ACC program for Texas A&M, who hasn't won anything since Wizard of Oz was in the theaters. But more often than not, the SEC can just handpick who they want in these other sports. And you feel like you're the organ donors because you just don't have the money to compete. So they're going to take the best and brightest from your conference and say, we want that. We want that. That's who we're going to get.
I wonder
who LSU gets. Who knows? When O'Sullivan left for LSU, who would Florida get?
Yeah.
They certainly could get a better candidate than they could 15 years ago, because the money is outrageous and it's so much more than it was 15 years ago.
Yeah. I wonder if Greg Sankey, I wonder if the SEC commissioner is like, no fooling around, LSU. Like, you can't take a guy from our conference. I got an idea. How about you get a legend out of retirement that's still got a lot of tread on his tire? How about that? Yeah, that worked for everybody. All right, good.
Everybody wins. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. All right, we're going to step aside real quick. We'll come back. We're going to get Express right after this. NordVPN. NordVPN. Speed. Security. Some folks emailing me, Aslan, like, why do I need all this encryption, VPN, IP masking? I don't know, man. I don't know what you guys are all doing on the internet. Some people don't want other people to know what they're doing on the internet. So, use NordVPN. Speed, you ask? Well, yeah, no throttling. Binge all the shows you want on Netflix. You realize when you, like, binge 4 movies in a day, a couple shows in a day, you know, your internet service provider's like, hey, what's going on over at this address? They're taking up a lot of data. Slow it down. Things start buffering. Who likes buffering? It's 2021. Enough of that. NordVPN's technology can help you out with this and much more. Try them out. Go to nordvpn.com/warchant. You will get a significant discount on a 2-year subscription with an additional free month tacked on top of it. Nord, N-O-R-D, VPN.com/warchant.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, on to the ponies we go. It's Renegade Express. We might do some tomorrow, Corey. I don't know. Might get crazy to do 4 shows in a week. You know how we roll. Anyhow, S-Quinn67. Way up. Softball team has been tough as nails in the WCWS. Again, we're reading these before game 2. They continue to dig deep and do what's needed for a victory. Watching them feels like watching the football team, in that I want them to win every pitch. Okay. I see that 5-star himself is on site reporting from OKC. Love it. That's right. Ira out there in Oklahoma City getting a nice tan. sweating profusely, I imagine. Also, great to see the guys from the baseball team making it there to support the ladies. Question for this week. If each of you was allowed to choose a sport to add to FSU athletics, what would it be and why? Corey, you cannot choose lacrosse. Love the show. How about the Noles?
Is that really part of the question? Is that part of the question?
That's what it says. That's what it's like. Can't do it. Can't do it, Corey. There's only one answer. Come on. Don't overthink it. Men's soccer.
What is it?
Men's soccer. Because it's Florida. We've got pretty good soccer players in the state. Men's soccer, maybe be on the cutting edge of it eventually, living up to its 30 years of building up, of being the biggest growing sport in America and all that.
What about rowing?
Around the res? Okay. I like
I'm
crew.
Just saying
I like
that,
crew.
You know, I'm tired of Stanford dominating rowing. Stanford and the Ivy League schools. How about getting some Florida athletes up in that rowing game? And plus, I've never interviewed a coxswain.
Oh, okay.
It would be cool to interview a coxswain, but more than anything, I'm tired of the elite schools, the preppy boarding school kids, the Winklevoss twins of the world that just dominate rowing because nobody else cares. If you bring it to Florida State and you tap into the athletes in this state, are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? I think they dominate rowing within 3 years. So there you go. That's mine, rowing.
Public State University crashing the elitist upper crust sport. I'm all for it. Yep. I like that. Gymnastics would be pretty cool. I want to be opposed to gymnastics.
Yeah, and that's bizarre. I don't know if it's bizarrely or not, but it's big in the SEC. Like big. Yeah. Like Georgia and Alabama, and I think Florida. Well, they'll have like 6,000-8,000 people at their meets, which is kind of it's kind of random that like Alabama cares so much about gymnastics.
LSU.
Yeah, I'm sure it's cool. So yeah, gymnastics wouldn't be a bad one either. I have no idea how the scholarship works for that. Like. Do the people that do the all around, do they get the most money? And if you're just like a balance beam,
there we go.
You only get 25% of the money, or if you're just a floor exercise. I don't know anything about that, but I'd love to find out. I'm changing my answer because how do you even cover rowing? Are you in a boat with them? Are you on a Sea-Doo?
You're controlling a drone.
You're just in a Sea-Doo beside them. Speeding along. I changed my answer to gymnastics. That's a good answer.
Okay. Future underscore Noel underscore Doc. Let's see when they joined. 2020. This is only their third ever post, August 15th.
Oh, right in the middle of COVID. All right. I like it. Nice.
Future underscore Noel underscore Doc. All right. Wake up. What are some objective measurements to evaluate how the defense improves next season? And if there are no improvements, at what point do you move and split company with Adam Fuller? Or do you wait it out the entire season? Go Noles! I should have probably broken that up.
I think you can wait it out the entire season. I say that. If they're going up 50 a game, no, you're going to have to make a change. There are a lot of objective numbers. Wins, number one, but then there's yards per game, there's yards per play, there's points, there's third down efficiency, there's sacks, like it goes on down the list. They were horrible at everything. Rushing defense, pass efficiency defense, turnovers created, sacks, awful at all of it. So any of those numbers, all of those numbers should go up. Well, no, I guess you want yards per game and points to go down. But those are the objective measures. It's not too complicated. I think that's what you're looking. If you want to just go strictly by numbers, yeah, man, there needs to be a rapid improvement. Now, I don't know what they averaged giving up last year, Aslan. It was like 34 a game,
sounds
35
about right.
a game.
Try to
but
it.
If you can lower that by a touchdown, at least that's progress. That's still not great. And if you can lower it from 490 yards a game to 440, that's still not great. But at least you're showing progress. So I think those are the measurements. And I think at the end of the year, even if my man has lowered it to 30 points a game and 450 yards per game, and they have, say, 15 sacks instead of one or whatever they had last year, just because he's improved it a little bit doesn't mean that's good enough to keep his job. You know what I mean? Like, I think there has to be – I think the objective numbers count, but it's also how they look like they're coached as well. I do think that will come into play. Because if Mike Norvell thinks in the middle of this season, okay, this isn't working. It's just not working. It's not getting done. You can't compound a mistake by holding on to someone that you don't think is right for the job. So I don't think just making improvement, even steady improvement, like appreciable 30 or 40 or 50 yards per game and 5 points. If you're still one of the worst 80 defenses in the country, that's not what I meant to say. Worst 40 defenses. If you're like 80 or worse, 85th or worse, that's not cutting it at Florida State, man. So hopefully they make a rapid leap. They make a pretty sizable leap up in at least like the top 55. They were 109, right, last year?
No, come on, man. Show some respect.
Weren't they 109th?
107.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
They allowed
Adam, I apologize, Coach Fuller.
They allowed 36 points per game, which was tied for 105th in the nation.
Hideous. Hideous.
Yeah. LSU, and meanwhile, they didn't have, LSU
think
was
about this though, Aslan.
Out of 127. That's crazy.
But think about the fact that Florida State didn't even have to play Florida and Clemson.
I know.
What would those numbers have been if they would have had to actually play those games? It would have been over 40 points per game they allowed, and they would have been, I don't know, 118th in the country. I mean, Clemson would have obliterated them. So would have Kyle Trask. So you're looking at, you know, another 1,100 yards they would have given up and another 90 points at least, probably 100 points. So then you're talking about a defense that's 119th in the country, 121st. Like, that's impossibly bad. So that has to – just getting in the top 100 isn't going to cut it either. I know it was year zero for him. I know there were a lot of challenges and obstacles, but nothing about that defense resembled anything that looked coordinated or well-coached, and it's a very, very important year for Adam Fuller.
I will say, you know, these preview magazines came out. Gene Williams, a.k.a. .com, did a kind of summary of what Lindy's and Athlon predicted, talked about with Florida State this upcoming season. I think one of them had Florida State going 6-6.
Okay.
If you go 6-6 and one of those six losses, let's say, happens like I should have the schedule up. If you lose a game like you did the way you did against Louisville last season – and you have six losses, I think you're done. I think you're done in season.
Or Pitt or NC State even. Like those, yeah. Well, really any loss, but especially those three, because those weren't good offenses.
Yeah.
And it did not. It looked like you were playing with nine guys on the field.
Yeah. That's part of one
bad
of your,
offenses.
Yeah. But if you're 8-3 and you have a stinker, you're fine. But yeah, if you're 6-6, I think if you're, you know, let's say you're 4-5 at this juncture, and then this is your third loss in a row, and you have allowed 48 points, and you look terrible. I think you probably cut bait.
Well,
but they've
also
got a lot of new tools. And the one thing I would like to see is third down defense. They were 104th in it last season. They only got off the field 46.5% of the time. So think
about
that.
What were they best at? Do you have the number, like what they were best at?
Net punting.
I meant defensive-wise.
Their fourth down conversion defense, they only allowed 46% conversion.
There you go, Knowles. There you go. I mean, just
everything
get them the fourth
defensively,
down.
I mean, total defense 107, rush defense 97, pass defense 98th, turnover margin 88th, scoring defense tied for 105. Yeah, man, a lot of triple digits.
And again, just add 110 points and 1,100 yards if they would have played the schedule they were supposed to play. So, yeah, and also, you know, look, if you're thinking about it from Norvell's point of view, if it doesn't get better, like appreciably better, you're like, okay, man, I gave you some ready-made players. I could understand if you're working with some five-star freshmen that aren't used to college football yet. You're working with ready-made players who have been in college football and started a lot of games, and you're still giving me this product? This isn't going to cut it. So, yeah, again, a lot of pressure on Adam Fuller. And of course, you know, we all hope he does a good job and gets it better. And there's no proof that he can't do it, right? First, certainly year zero wasn't good for him, but it wasn't good for the head coach either. And we're giving the head coach a lot of benefit of the doubt. So we can give Adam Fuller a benefit of the doubt. But again, you need to see some real improvement in year one and a half, or whatever you want to term this.
Yeah. Old dads and Noel, wake up. So maybe I missed something, but what is the reason there's dancing around saying Lady Knowles, blood pressure rising, as I ask, but have to know? I don't know, was it 2 years ago when Corey and I both spoke to Coach Alameda, I think two years ago. And I think when I exited the interview, it was like, thanks so much again to the head coach of the Lady Knowles, Lonnie Alameda, you know. And when I was leaving, somebody associated with the program was like, hey, man, don't call them the Lady Knowles. They're not the Lady Knowles. They're just the Seminoles. So I was like, oh, my bad. I mean, it wasn't like in a rude way. I wasn't being chastised or chided for it. It was just like, hey, man, we don't do that any longer. We don't do that any longer. So I'm like, okay. But anywho, You may record the ponies after the series is over, but in game one, what about the Sooner fans giving our pitcher a standing ovation when she was taken out? That made me smile. I had to go to bed between the sixth and seventh inning for work purposes. Getting up at 2 a.m. daily takes discipline and sacrifice. Trust me.
Wow.
But that game was so awesome, I got my girlfriend to watch it, who's never done that, and believe it or not, I woke up to a sweet note telling me the final score, meaning she stayed with it for the final inning. That, too, made me smile. So what was your guys' moment that made you smile the most from any point in this series? Thanks for all the hard work all of you do. Come on, man. You wake up at 2 a.m. Old dad.
Yeah, man, all of it is... makes you smile, man. It really is good for the sport. And I said it on yesterday's show, and I'm doubling down. There has never been a softball team that's dealt with the kind of crowd that Florida State's dealt with. It just hasn't happened. Now, that stadium has been around in Oklahoma City for a while, obviously, but they added that extra deck to it. So now it seats 12,000. I don't know that there's ever been another softball team in the country. In fact, I'm almost positive there couldn't have been. That's had 11,600 people cheering against them loudly. I mean, it is like playing at the, it's like Louisville men's basketball playing at the Civic Center. I mean, it is an atmosphere. It is an environment. But I think even when Lonnie was talking about it earlier in the series, she just thinks, you know, she said, yeah, they're Sooner fans, but they're softball fans. And this is such a big deal for the sport. And I really do think that. I mean, this is an enormous stage. It has to get so many people, so many young girls excited. And I'm using girls in the proper terminology there, sense there, excited about playing softball and getting to that venue, because it is a great venue for that sport. It is like the crown jewel of that sport, really, in the world. There's no other place in the world that cares about softball the way this country cares about softball. So I think it's just that. I think it's just these athletes getting to experience that kind of stage in that kind of environment, that kind of pressure, the noise, the just the raucous atmosphere, they deserve it. I don't know that you feel that anywhere else. So that to me is the coolest part. It's just their reactions. Lonnie talking about how loud it was after Monday's win. Just she had never heard anything like it. It just really cool. The whole thing is just really cool. It all kind of makes, and they smile through the whole thing. It's just, the whole thing has been really great for them to experience, because they're playing the home team in the biggest stadium in the country. And they're all Oklahoma fans. So them getting to experience that, and the Oklahoma women getting to experience, the Lady Sooners getting to experience it. It's just really cool for the sport and cool for those coaches, I'm sure. So that, I don't know if there's one specific moment, but that's a really, the whole thing has just been neat.
Anytime Sydney Sherrill's on camera. Ah, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
All anytime right. Devin Flaherty's on camera. Ah, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay.
When Elizabeth Mason hit her home run. That was awesome. Like, was it against Alabama? She no doubt it is.
Yeah,
like,
against the perfect game pitcher.
Yeah, that was awesome. Because as soon as it, like, she barreled it up, she was 1 foot out the batter's box, and she just had both hands up in the air, like, let's go. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially considering that she had just thrown a perfect game. They had held her out of the first game for some reason, almost like, oh, we won't need her. We'll use her if we need her in game two. But we probably won't need her until and we want to save her for game one of the championship series. Oh, wait, now we got to play Florida State again. That's okay. She's dominant. Nobody can touch her. Oh, wait, hit, walk, three-run bomb. Oh, that's fun. You know, that was a really cool moment for the team as well. You're right. Good call.
Pistol Mike. Wake up, gentlemen. Hopefully, as you record this, we've all seen Lonnie munching on dubs in her post-game press conference. Let's go, Lady Knowles. First a rant, then a question. Rant. Last month, I was scrolling through the guide, saw the ACC Network was showing the Bowden dynasty. I immediately selected it, only to find they were actually showing Notre Dame football, a year in the ACC, the documentary about their, quote, historic 2020 season. Their words, not mine. How are you going to replace a documentary about the greatest coach and dynasty in conference history for one about a team that isn't even in the conference? At least all the lacrosse coverage is for teams in the ACC. Yeah, I don't know.
Fair point.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
They're in the conference, but they're not fully in the conference. But
yeah,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's very Notre Dame-centric for a team that does not as far as I know, pay you any grant of rights for that NBC deal. You're not getting a cut of that money. It's all going to that school. So then why would you produce? The only thing I can think, who wrote this question?
Pistol Mike.
The only thing I can think, Mike, is maybe the ACC. It's like when you put a bid on a house. If it's competitive, maybe you send a gift basket too. Maybe you send a couple $100 gift cards to Bed Bath & Beyond. Something to send you over the top to make your competitive offer a little more competitive. Maybe the ACC is like, hey, we really want you to join the conference. Let's show you how much. We're going to give you a whole documentary about your year in the ACC. Remember how fun this was, guys? Remember how fun? You get to relive it all again. Don't you want to keep doing this every year? Maybe it was that reason. That even making the documentary, and then, yeah, who knows where they're programming, man. Half the time on the guide, it's wrong.
Yeah,
it says it's one thing and it ain't.
None of my.
You know what ESPNU had on Monday afternoon? They had on the 1993 FSU Miami game.
I thought it was FSU Florida, was odd. Or a national title game. I thought.
No, it was the one I saw was just the regular 1993 FSU Miami game, the one where Matt Fryer had the long touchdown and then Devin Bush had the interception at the end.
Nice.
And I was like, they usually only show the wide rights.
Right.
That's all they ever show from the 90s FSU-Miami rivalry. So it was cool that FSU actually got one of their wins on there.
Now to my question. Due to my career, I've only been to one game at Doak, or any in-person game for that matter, since I graduated back in 2010. The one game I did go to was 2014 versus Clemson. 2 days later, my family and I moved to Guam for the next 3 years.
Wow.
Wow. With the exception of the offseason, as a fan, what's the longest time you have gone without seeing a game in person? Take care and keep on crushing it, Mike. Thanks, Mike. You want to go, Corey? I think for me, my last game was 2004 Florida, but I came up for the black jerseys noon game versus Boston College in 2005.
That was a memorable one. Yeah.
What was the game that Florida State lost to Wake? Like 12-9, it was just field goals, or it was like 15.
That was 08. No, it was like 12-3, I think.
Yeah, something ridiculous. So I was up for that game.
That was when Ponder guaranteed the win, and then they lost 12-3.
Well, see, in terms of being in Doak, that game, I saw that game, and then I didn't come back until the Oklahoma game in 11. So not all that long, 2 years.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm just doing it in my head. I would say from birth until year 7. When I was 7, I saw my first Florida State game in 1982, the Gator Bowl.
Okay.
And I'm positive I've seen at least one game every year since then. And obviously now I see all of them. But even when I was just, when my dad had season tickets, I was at least coming to a couple of games a year. So yeah, I 9 months, 10 months, I've never really had a gap.
I think yeah, 2 years.
I'm thankful.
For me,
I'm grateful for that too.
Yeah, 2 years for me because, 2009 Wake Forest game. Then I was here for Oklahoma in 11. Then I came here for the Miami game in 13. I was here 15. I went and saw the Georgia Tech game. 16. I saw Clemson. Yeah, so the 2 years I think is the most. At least since I saw my first game in Doak, which was 2001 NC State Phil Rivers.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Did they win that one? They lost that one, didn't they?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was a high-scoring affair, though, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think they had last chance. They had last dibs to try to win the game. I want to say Talman Gardner might have dropped a pass or two, but...
It sounds correct.
Exactly. Mad AMCZ. It's Mark, y'all. He's in Naples. Wake up! Big week in Tallahassee. So happy I was in town for it. Mega camp, awesome. It was hard to see any open turf on the intramural fields with 3,000 kids and dozens of coaches out there. Another good move by Norvell. Madison Social was going nuts the other night for the Lady Noles. Love to see the pure joy that they play with. It's refreshing. And my son got Anthony Polite as his coach for the week at Hamilton's camp, which is icing on the cake. That's a solid week there, Mark. Glad. I was supposed to grab a beer with Mark, but my life got in the way. Big man camp. Various chores around the house. Sorry, Mark. We'll run it back, Mark. We'll run it back. Shifting gears, what do you guys think of this Koepka-DeChambeau feud? To me, it's like John Daly starting a feud with Tiger, a bomber who played great in a couple majors talking smack to a major winning machine. Bryson doesn't even belong on the same golf course as Brooks in most majors. Personally, mark this is, I'd like to see Brooks ignore Bryson and just focus on winning his third U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. And heavens to Betsy, they have to play on the same Ryder Cup team in a few months. No wonder the Euros own us in that event. Appreciate your insight. Go Lady Knowles. Look at everybody just making me talk out of school about that. I love it, man. I saw somebody started a thread on the Tribal Council that got lots of traction about, you know, way to keep it classy, Brooks, like knock it off. No, man, I love it. Yeah, sometimes I know why I'm where I'm at in my life, because had I experienced more success, if I was more attractive, I was more wealthy, I'd be just that much more of a miserable person to have to deal with. So God's kind of like, all right, I'll keep you a little bit humble. I'll just make you like a 9. But yeah, if I was as good as Brooks Koepka, looked as good as Brooks Koepka, I would talk all the smack to Bryson DeChambeau. And DeChambeau's annoying. He really is. People think I'm annoying. Bryson DeChambeau is just, he's just a gnat. He's pretentious. He's obnoxious. He's ostentatious. He's every sort of, I'm not saying like, I don't know. He might be a good guy and donate money to charities and do good stuff in his spare time. But in terms of his persona that he tries to create, his image, man, he's just unapologetically abrasive, and I don't dig it. And Brooks is our guy, so I got to defend Brooks. If we were an SMU show, shoes on the other foot, I could probably find ways to make fun of Brooks, but I'm not going to do it. Brooks is our guy. I got your back, Brooksy.
Yeah, I really don't have an opinion of it. I just think it's awesome that the video got out, and I don't know how it got out. I'm sure there's been a story written about it by now. I haven't cared that much to read about it. But if that video hadn't gotten out, then, you know, we all knew that Koepka didn't like him and vice versa, but it wasn't that big a deal. But that video just amped it up. It turned it up to 11, like that feud, quote unquote feud, which a golfing feud. What does that even mean?
Right.
They don't wave to each other when they go into the country club and have their, you know, Asabuco. Whoa. They're not waving. They're not sitting at the same table. I mean, you know, come on. But either way, it's not like Duran and Leonard or anything like that. But still, it's cool. I think it's good for the sport. I think Brooks is probably playing it up a little bit because he thinks it is good for the sport. DeChambeau just strikes me as a pretty socially awkward guy.
Yes.
That doesn't really get how a lot of social norms maybe. And anyway, or maybe he's just playing a long game too. He's certainly getting talked about, and any pub is good pub, and he's one of the most famous golfers in the world now. So everything he's done with the weight room and all his science, I guess, is working. But, yeah, I'm certainly not rooting for DeChambeau. I don't really have a dog in that fight. That's not a good saying, Corey. Come up with another one. That's not something you say out loud. I don't have a.
When did we stop saying that? That's
I don't have a horse. Well, isn't it saying a dog? I'm not a dog fighting fan.
We're not sitting here trying to rewrite.
I know
Michael
it's just
Vick's
a weird.
Wikipedia
it's weird that became a saying. Kind of like drinking the Kool-Aid. I brought that up, like how that just entered our lexicon. You know, 900 people died in Jonestown, and we're like, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Isn't that a funny thing to say? But yeah, so I don't have a horse in that race. There you go. That's better,
look
right? Because all the horses just get whipped. So I do think that Koepka is playing it up a little bit just because he knows it's good for the sport and he thinks it's funny. I think DeChambeau strikes me as somebody that's really irked by it. Clearly, because people were getting thrown out of the tournament this past weekend, right?
Right, yeah.
For saying, let's go Brooksy. Yeah. But I think Koepka doesn't care. He's never, it just doesn't, he doesn't strike me as somebody that really cares one way or the other. He thinks it's funny and he's just playing it up.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, Brooks Koepka's pulse rate never goes above like 50, I feel like. He's just whatever.
Yeah.
Just, you know, everything is water off his back.
Yeah.
Like an otter. Mm. Is that acceptable?
I don't have an otter in this fight.
And there you go. Hey-o.
WarChant.com is the ultimate inside source for FSU football and recruiting. And now you can get in on the action for free for an entire month. WarChant.com is offering a risk-free 30-day trial subscription. Get full access to the number one website covering the Seminoles just by entering the promo code WarChant30. That's WarChant30. Sign up and get in on the world's most active FSU message boards. Receive breaking news, stories from our award-winning staff, plus get exclusive interviews and videos. Just enter the promo code WarChant30. WarChant.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source.